Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you'll need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hello, friends. We're back again. It's Fightful.com. It is time for your TNA post-show, May 16th, 2024. I am Atrol Pearl. Cresta Starr is with me. Muggle no more.
Yes, the name of my new faction, Muggle No More.
and Muggle by Design. That'll be the next one.
Nah, that's when I get fired from Fightful and I have to go back to muggling. Then I'm Muggle by Design because you thought.
Just don't shave your head and we'll be okay.
Nah, I'm going to shave my head. Okay, okay. So this is totally off topic.
No, it's now part of it. Let's go.
For Halloween, I'm going to be Sailor Rattlesnake. And I'm going to have a bald cap on. I'm going to run around with the theme song of Stone Cold Steve Austin at the back and go, what? It's going to be great. It's going to be fabulous. It's going to be great. It's great. Since you talked about bald, that's the first thing I thought of.
And now Stone Cold runs around, you know, he's a cat dad. So you can run around with the Luna Stone Cold version of your own.
Honestly, I want Stone Cold to do something on Animal Planet because I would pop. I'd pop like a pimple.
Well, what we got here is a really nice tabby cat that I found backstage at a show once in Lexington, Kentucky. Sorry, I don't know why he sounds like Braun Strowman after a few minutes.
I gotta tell you, his Instagram stories with this one cat, Poncho. Poncho is a world. He flip-flop more than a Big Show. I'm more interested in Poncho's heel face, sir, on Stone Cold. It's great. Stone Cold, if you ever listen to this, your Instagram is top tier. You don't need nobody running it. You're doing a fabulous job.
Someone's got to pull out the depth chart, find out who's going where and that cat lore. Anyway, plenty to talk about tonight on TNA Impact. As always, if you haven't already, leave a thumbs up on the video. And of course, subscribe to us here at Fightful.com and on YouTube.com/Fightful. Fightful Overbooked is where you get your extra content if you want some ESPN2 type knowledge dropped on you from some of the best in the business, including myself and Jeremy Lambert. We're in the weeds every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 10 a.m. Eastern till noon. We got FightfulSelect.com. We'll talk about that in a little bit, but we got a lot to talk about. Let's get right into it. Champions Challenge took up 30 minutes of this show. It was a very, very long match. We'll talk about that and, of course, everything else that went on, but we're on the way to Against All Odds. There is a TV taping this weekend. Cresta Starr, overall thoughts tonight's show, please.
There were a few bright moments in this show, and you guys know I love wrestling, and I always try to be super-duper positive. But tonight, I hate to be Righteous Reg. I hate to be Righteous Reg.
I get it.
I will say, I want to show you guys my notes for the end match at the very end when PCO came out. I don't know if you can see it in all cast. No, please. I mean, I get what we're going for, but I got to tell you, like there were some bright spots, but I got to give the overall an F. I got to give it overall an F.
Wow, you're really going for it, eh?
Listen, I love a good honky-tonk. I love a good honky-tonk.
That's fair. Listen, some shows are not going to be for you. Some shows are not for me. That's okay. I'm not going to say that tonight's show was an F per se, but I can see where it may not be someone's favorite episode of TNA Impact. There were some things that really looked good. There were some things that are a little bit questionable that we're going to talk about. And in terms of just like the storytelling and the way things are kind of being moved around, and the way that they're introducing certain beats from other stories into other matches. And of course, having a 16 person tag match that is a big cluster muck of a mess. It looks good on paper, but then the execution is always, you know, a little bit more difficult. But again, here we are. Let's talk about it. If you want to get in on the conversation, you can go ahead and drop a super chat or go to humperchats.com. Cresta, tell them why, how, when, and where.
You can take your cellular device or your hands on your computer and go to humperchats.com, put in your dollar amount, and then type in your comment and say, Cresta, why are you being such a hater? And I'll respond with, maybe I'm just in my hater phase. Maybe for a comedic effect. I'm going to be back at it again next Thursday watching TNA. So whatever I say is a lie. You know, and then Joel will give his 2 cents and we get to keep a little bit more of that 2 cents and everyone's happy. Humperchats.com is where you should be. Thank you.
Bing. Anyway.
Bing. Bing bong.
Jenna starts us off with a super chat. A very generous one saying, Zaya Brookside has so much potential and is a natural baby face. I hear chance for her every match. I hope they invest in her development properly because she could be their next big star. Fightful Select, we dropped notes today from an interview that Sean Rossap did with Zaya Brookside. That interview drops in full tomorrow. So if you want to go hear more from Zaya Brookside, including her when she had just signed with TNA and everything else that she was doing at the time, go check that out. That's going to drop tomorrow, but the notes are up over on FightfulSelect.com, the best $5 in the business. And then she also adds, glad Joe Henry got the, I'm assuming gender, John, I'm sorry. They said, glad Henry got the pin. I feel weird about PCO and Steph DeLander. Well, listen, the Henry stuff we'll talk about in the main event, the PCO and SDL stuff. Before we talk about Zaya, first of all, let's just dig in. Zaya Brookside, fantastic, yes?
Yes, I agree. There we are. She reminds me, and I don't like to compare people, but babyface, Bailey, NXT, ponytail to the side, very much that. She's a star, and you could see it. And she's very easily liked. Oh, my God. Like, if somebody busted her open, I might have to go and fight for them. She's a star, period. I agree.
Yeah, we're going to talk about that in just a second in her match with Ash by Elegance. But real quick, PCO comes out at the end of the main event. We can talk about this because it happened at the very end and had no bearing on the actual result of the match. Presents a black rose to Steph DeLander. Steph DeLander accepts. And how can I put this gently? I think they're going to have sex.
No, do not want. I mean, I love wrestling and I always try to find something positive to say about it, but I don't know what to say here. And maybe it's me. Maybe my lizard brain is not evolved to see what's the bigger picture here. And I'm not afraid to admit when I'm wrong. But all I could hear was Michael Scott going, no, God, please. No. Maybe it's me. I'm known to be a jabroni.
Listen, do you remember the last time there was a wedding in TNA or Impact?
Didn't Johnny Bravo get shot?
Johnny Bravo got shot. And I need a black wedding in which PCO and Steph DeLander get married. And listen, PCO's been revived 298 times by my count. So I would love, just so we can have Tommy Dreamer one more time react over someone's body. No, I can't do it because it's too late at night. I'll wake everyone up in the house. But I need it, Cresta. I need another Impact TNA wrestling wedding. I need it like a camel needs water in the desert after too many miles. I need it.
You son of a bitch, Joel, I'm in. I thought about it. I wanted to hate it, but I'm like, damn, he's right. It's gonna be so bad, but it's gonna be so good. That's gonna be sports entertainment.
And if it brings
God damn it.
And if it brings back Matthew J. Cardona, I will not be upset either.
When Matthew J. Cardona, the J stands for Jesus.
Sure, that's the word I'm gonna go for. Ash by Elegance takes on Zaya Brookside. Notice how I didn't do the gimmick because we'll get into it later. I love Tom Hannifin mentioning that these two women crossed paths in NXT without saying NXT, set in Orlando, where Hannifin was at the time when he was working for the company. He also, this was a good night for Tom Hannifin, in my opinion, makes reference to the reveal of the referee jersey that George Iceman, sorry, the personal concierge, is wearing. And of course, the referee, Paige Prinzivalli, he's like, no, I'm the referee, not you. But he makes reference to what Jason Hotch did at Rebellion during the Knockouts World Championship match, where he took a, put on the referee shirt and tried to be the referee. I like that he's throwing in those little extra pieces and extra moments. The match itself is good. It's simple. I want your thoughts. Ash by Elegance gets the win, but certainly does not look good in defeat as she gets knocked the FO.
I am going to focus on positive things, and I will tell you that positively, Zaya Brookside looked amazing in this match. I think that she is so fluid and so clean. I gotta give props where props are due. When Ash by Elegance chopped that little girl's chest, oof, I felt that in my soul. Ooh, No ma'am. So I will keep my words soft and sweet, but I think Zaya Brookside did a great job. I am now beginning to get Ash by Elegance's character. You're an annoying heel. And that's what it is. I done chopped my paper. Sorry. You're an annoying heel. And that's what it is. And that's fine. And I get it. And there are parts of her that I feel like can be more serious. But I think I need to give her more grace than I'm giving her. And if I relegate her to you're an annoying heel, like the good hands, when you finally come up, I can appreciate it more. So it finally clicked for me. So this match was okay, but Zaya Brookside really was doing the Lord's work this match. I will also say, Zaya Brookside giving her the one punch man punch at the end.
So good. So after
that was so good.
First of all, Ash gets the win. She does the neck snap off over the ropes on Zaya Brookside and then follows up with rarefied air. Looks good, gets the win. And then after the match, Ash by Elegance is given her bedazzled, bejeweled brass knucks, and personal concierge George Iceman, demands that Zaya Brookside kneel because she's English, which is fantastic. By the way, George, letting you know, I heard you say a boot. I heard it, you Canadian. I heard it. I
get him.
Got him. However, Zaya Brookside used the rings, as they were, to knock out Ash Cold. That was so well executed. She just knocked out flat, kind of like Toni Storm did on Dynamite a few weeks ago with Serena Deeb, and that one punch knockout. Good, just knockout, comedic blow. Down she goes. And then, of course, personal concierge throwing up the X like it's 1999 WWF. This was funny stuff. I liked it. Like you said, if you think of it as a comedy act, if you think of it as a not serious thing, this is a good presentation for Ash by Elegance.
It was a slow start. But again, I see her in the same role that Giselle Shaw was when she first came in. You're doing too much with not enough. And as time goes on, it'll make you, as the viewer, appreciate where she's come from. And that's what I've decided. And I don't know if that works for anyone else because I like to enjoy wrestling. I don't like to be one of those guys who watch stuff that hate it. You know what I mean? So I think Zaya Brookside is a star here. And I do think that there's a feud that can't continue because I think that these two do have a chemistry. It just ends up making Zaya look great. And that's my truth and I stand in it.
And that's fine because Zaya Brookside can easily keep moving up the ranks from this. And Ash can too, down the line. We're not going to sugarcoat it. She has a long name standing from coming from WWE. That's something that means something, especially in TNA and other companies. So for her to eventually break out, that feels inevitable. However, Zaya Brookside, who is still new, who is still, learning and growing within every aspect of pro wrestling, is at an advantage because she has that growth in front of her. It's not a knock at Ash. It's just she has more time to grow and develop as a wrestler. And Ash is still learning and doing. And you know what? Once upon a time, people were really, really praising the former Dana Brooke, saying that, she would be the first one to run down to the PC and try to do her best and learn, put up the ring, be in the ring, do things on her day off. I will never take that away from a talent. Anyone who wants to say, oh, she's just not a good worker. No, actually, she's quite good. When she plays to her strengths, I think she's really good. That rarefied air that she's been using as her finish, it's crisp, it's smooth, it looks good. Can she get better? Absolutely. She needs to be working with the right talent. And I think someone like Zaya Brookside provides her that net to work well. And that's why this match ended up being better than it could have been.
And I'll even take it one step further. When you have someone like that, when you think about her tenure, you would make a great heel because people already want to boo you. I'm going to use AJ Francis as a parallel. People already want to boo you. So why not play, like you said, to your strengths? Make you Tasha Steelz and Savannah Evans with this damn fanny pack is another good example. How for a while they were just being menaces. Play, I want you to play to your strength. I think there is a way to make her tough and strong to be someone who menaces in the middle of a match, who believes that this is her time to shine. She would be great against a Giselle Shaw. It's just one of those things where it's like, I know what you can be, so I end up wanting more. And I'm not trying to be hard on her, because can I do what she do? I probably can't even lace that girl's boots. And if she bench press me, I would cry. I would laugh, but I would also cry.
I'm thinking of the giggle. Too.
It wouldn't be funny. It'd be funny when she go like, oh, "Oops!" And, oh, she bit me up.
Rosemary has this vignette backstage. Well, not backstage. She's in the middle of nowhere. She's all alone. Havoc was attacked by Ash Balligans, and she's gone. We don't know where she's gone. She's gonna work Triple A in a while, but we don't know where Havoc is. She's gone. So Rosemary's going to give up her attachments. She mentions Valkyrie. She's talking about Taya Valkyrie. She mentions the bunny because Allie was a part of the Havoc and Rosemary demon and bunny. And then she mentions Havoc and she says she's not human. And then she pulls out a knife and I'm like, oh my God, she's got a knife. But then she says, once you've lost everything, you're free to do anything. This is a new potential direction for Rosemary. I'm curious as to where this goes. Rosemary can go. We know that she can wrestle. She's a former Knockouts World Champion and Knockouts World Tag Team Champion. So the opportunity is there. I'm just curious as to what the expectation is on Rosemary in 2024. So what did you think of this promo?
Excited. No, it sounds like I have a frog in my throat. I apologize. I'm very excited because much like with Crazy Steve, I feel like we're going to get to see a more deranged Rosemary. And I'm kind of here for it. I do think that out of all the women on the Knockout side, Masha taking a step back, I feel like from a little bit more of a violent style, left a hole for that. And I could absolutely see Rosemary being like, oh, y'all wanted a hardcore match? And I'm kind of excited. Like, do I want to see it? No. But also, yes, you know what I mean? Because, you know, I'm soft.
No, but I'm interested as to where this can go because, again, Rosemary's been around for a while. She's, you know, in a couple of years, it would be 10 years. So she's been, I think, since 2016. There is a lot of time in Rosemary's bank, in TNA, and also in the future. So we'll see where it goes. I like that they're trying to push her as a singular entity moving forward. Speaking of singular entities, Kushida's backstage with Santino Marella. They both felt sick because of Gresham's ink. And then they asked Kushida, are you going to be okay? He's like, yeah, I was sick for a week. I'm okay. I've got a match on Explosion. He's like, I'm going to be okay. Spoiler alert, he won't be okay. So that's going to air, I think, tomorrow because Explosion airs, I think, on Fridays. Anyway, the reason why we did this is because next Leon Slater and Alan Angels have a match. The Gresham referee is part of it. So I'm thinking to myself, oh, okay, that's going to be a part of it. Remember earlier, Cresta, when I said there were certain story beats that made no sense as to why they were playing into random matches? This is one of them. And it gets even weirder because after Leon Slater gets the win with a fantastic Swanton 450 because he's so damn talented, Khan comes out and goes after Alan Angels after what had happened on Alan Angels' soundcheck. And then Slater stood up to him and makes a save. So I'm like, why did we do the Gresham spot with the referee just to replace the referee? And there was the finish had nothing to do with the referee and the Gresham unless he's about to be played into literally all of this. And meanwhile, Khan comes out and they play up Khan and Alan Angels and now Slater's part of it. I didn't know how to feel about it other than like, what are we shoehorning in here? Give me your thoughts on the match. Give me your thoughts on just the whole word soup.
Thank you, because I felt crazy watching this match a little bit. The match itself was good. Alan Angels is a fantastic wrestler. Leon Slater for being 19, holy cow. However, okay, the ref with the ink, you want to keep the Gresham thing. So are we like in the Gresham universe? Is he moving parts here? Khan coming out attacking Angels. That's cool. But I guess Slater standing up to him. Why wouldn't you stand up to him before? I understand you were crazy and you were like, oh my God, he's there. I would have left the ring. Okay, Slater versus Khan going forward. Okay. Not mad about that. That's the only positive thing I could say about that post-match. I'm not mad about Khan versus Slater coming up later, but I'm very confused as to why we did all of that. And think, I was like, maybe I'm missing something. Again, I'm known to be a jabroni. So I was very confused.
I'm hoping it plays out in future weeks on TV. I trust that it will, but also again, it was very strange to see Angels and Slater in a match where Slater and Angels have to deal with Khan. And then at the first half of the match, you're dealing with the Gresham referee with the ink. And it's all a callback to the earlier segment with Kushida and Santino Marella. And Kushida's not in the match. He's on Explosion. It was just a whole lot of like reshuffling and renavigating for something that might play out for all of these men moving forward, but really we don't know. I do like the touch. The referees all come out. They're wearing their black gloves to handle the sick referee. Like there's attention to detail here, which I do appreciate. I just don't know how it all fits yet, if at all.
No, I agree with that. And I would not be opposed to a situation where Jonathan Gresham is pulling the strings via ink. I mean, that sounds so weird, but maybe I've been watching too many horror things, but I'm here for a little horror and wrestling if we're going to do it. It's not like I haven't seen The Undertaker, PCO, and even to a lesser extent, Sammy Callahan and Decay, which are just kind of ultra violent. I'm okay with it. I just like you. I kind of want it to make sense. And right now, maybe I'm still in the dark. Let it play out, Bray Wyatt. Let it happen. So I'm going to just let it play out. Because at first I was confused about Bray Wyatt's Playhouse, and then it made sense. So I'm hoping. I trust TNA. I do trust TNA. But I wanted to do something with Jonathan do something with Jonathan Gresham, because we've started him mad times, and it's pissing me off.
Gresham's going to take over TNA's Twitch channel later on.
Period, as he should.
He's going to start the Gresham 6, and it's going to be a weird lore-based Twitch offensive, just like WWE did today with they're weird. Go check it out. That's all I'm going to say. Just WWE Twitch. They did a whole thing for the Wyatts. If you're into that, then man, you got an hour's worth of lore. Gabby LaSpezia interviews Jake something. I'm pretty sure Gabby is out here just getting all the wrestlers to hate her, which is like, that's my gimmick on In the Weeds. Like that's Jeremy makes me out to be the bad guy, but like Gabby's doing it for real. And she's like, oh no, I didn't mean to upset you. I just said the thing that triggered you, which in Jake Something's case is her being like, hey, are you something now, you big old loser? And Jake Something's like, what are you calling me a loser for? But anyway, the point is, he says he built himself from the ground up because he was told he was going to be nothing, and then mentions, you know, yeah, he's on a losing streak. He blames Cody Deaner for it. Deaner comes out and says, you know, hey, we're cousins. And I'm like, oh, I haven't heard that in a while. And then you got Cody speaking for Jake the whole time, says, you know, the people, Cody, we're with you, blah, blah, blah. And then I love that Jake Something reminds the people and us that Cody turned on him to join Violent by Design. But of course, Cody Deaner has a way out of everything because he's a snake-tongued gentleman. Says, you know, you're going down a dark path and I'm worried about you. So what does Jake Something do? Whoop-ow! Punch him in the face.
For the ones who know safety isn't a catchphrase, it's a culture. And the ones who help make sure everyone makes it home safe. For the safety-minded who watch everyone's backs, Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as safety assessments and training to keep your facilities safe and your people safer. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger. For the ones who get it done.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Honestly, when he said Well, I'm here with you. We're all here with you. And he responded to you like you were here with me when you joined Violet by Design. I was like, got him. And then he, Cody Dina basically says, my bad, but we'll always be family. We'll always be cousins.
Yeah, everyone loves their family to no end.
The hell we will. I'm so sorry. There's no way. Heck you, bro. You literally took me out. And honestly, I didn't know that about Jake Something's name. He said, you didn't think I'd be anything, and now I'm something. I'm like, well, you ain't never lie there, buddy. Like, I'm glad that they finally mentioned that the Deaners are cousins and that these two are related. But also, does that mean Jake's going to go beat up on Cody Dina? Because... I don't want to see Cody Dina get ragged on by Jake Dina. Even damn, I'm sorry, Jake Something.
It's got to end with somebody being best friends, riding tractors, drinking beers in Wrestle House again.
Honestly, the Deaners is what really made me kind of like TNA in the first place. So I am hating from the club outside, but if they got back together, it's gonna be me.
It's about time. But anyway, I'm looking forward to the inevitable match. I don't know if I call this a heel turn for Jake Something. I think there was a lot of weird work in this night. I don't know if this is Jake Something just being upset and needed to take it out on Diener because Diener's been this over the top babyface. Again, I'm willing to let this play out, and I'm willing to see if this is a Jake Something ragdolls Cody Diener, or if this is they get back together. There's something in there. I don't know. Just the one thing that Diener said on his podcast, he did an Ask Me Anything type of thing. And I think the funniest thing that he relayed from his podcast was that the People's Choice gimmick is a shoot, according to him, where he said when he had to face GYV in a match, it said in the rundowns that they were working on it when they were working on the production side of things. They said it would either be GYV 1 or GYV 2. And then they said, oh, nobody ever thought about facing both of them. And then the crowd decided both of them. So we did both of them. And that wasn't planned. And I said to myself, wait a minute. Didn't that match end with somebody coming to your aid by the end of the match? Didn't we have something like a run-in afterwards? How can you tell me this was a shoot? Anyway, just letting that breathe for a minute.
Delicious. I will just add quickly that this ends one of three ways. The Deaners getting back together, Something and Cody Diener fighting, Something and Cody Diener fighting, and then the Deaners getting back together. So
I think it might be that one, but we'll find out soon. It could just be Jake does actually turn heel, beats up Cody Diener, and Diener just moves on his merry way moving forward.
Either sometimes way. You got to beat up family. Sometimes you get gone.
Sometimes you got to beat up your family.
Bully Ray did it to Bubba. Matt did it to Jeff. Who else did it?
Ryan and Nick have fought. Absolutely.
Come on, every brother, sister, everyone fights.
Anyway, speaking of fighting, Gia Miller's backstage at Speedball Mountain. They'll be fighting each other this weekend at the TV tapings. That match is going to air next Thursday on Impact. Looking forward to it. They put over their match. They're just talking about the respect they have for each other. And I'm looking forward to Speedball versus Trent Seven. Who do you think is walking out of this match with the number one contendership?
I honestly feel like it might be Trent Seven. I don't feel like Trent Seven loses anything if he loses to Ali, who's absolutely going to cheat.
I think Trent Seven wins it. I think
so too.
I think we're going to look at Speedball versus Ali for the X Division Championship in Montreal.
Oh, wait, you're disagreeing with me. I mean,
no, I'm agreeing with you because the number one contendership match is for Against All Odds. I'm saying both men are going to have title matches, but Trent Seven is going to get the first one. He's going to win the match. He's going to win the match this weekend that airs on Thursday, and then Speedball will get a title shot later on.
And I think that when Speedball does get a title shot, it's going to be more of like a program, if you will, not just the you guys fight you guys and you guys. And I think this would be the start of it. Ali's going to be very dastardly, as one political pundit does, and it's going to rub Speedball the wrong way. And that's what's going to start with that buildup. I think he loses in Montreal, but it goes on. And if there is a ping pong back and forth, it'll be a series of great matches because Ali versus Mike Speedball Bailey. If Ali don't step on this man's toes and completes the trifecta of heel turn, I don't know, man.
He's already a heel, let's face it.
I'm ready for it to be the worst.
Well, we'll see what happens, but that's kind of what I'm thinking is the next couple of months at least. Frankie Kazarian defeats Steve Maclin. This match was very strange. Steve Maclin, working as a pseudo babyface, both scares me and enlightens me. Now, I don't think that Maclin has turned babyface. Do not quote me on that. But it feels to me like this match was maybe a testing of waters, maybe looking to see if this would work. It was a very traditional back and forth with the hope spots and everything, but the crowd wasn't totally sure how to react. And that was strange, because even to me, I was like, I don't know how I should feel about either man, other than Kazarian is an asshole. That's how I need to feel. But both men are like, they're going into it and they're going for everything. I love the KIA reversal that goes from the apron to the floor. It's nasty. Maclin hits a psycho knee and the jarhead bucket. That looks good. Gets a near fall. The match is good. It ends with the Rascals interfering. Both Trey and Wentz and the spray paint get involved. So that's how Kazarian gets the win. What do you think of the match? What do you think of all this stuff going on with Maclin and Kazarian and the Rascals and the baby face and who's a heel and the confusion? Let's go.
Bro, at first going into this match, I was like, ugh, I don't care. I actually thoroughly enjoyed this match. This match, for all intents and purposes, listen, this match was stiff. I was pleasantly surprised when when Kazarian yeeted Maclin off of the apron and Maclin just biffed it and you just heard his back. I was like, oh god, listen, I always give Maclin crap on this chat, but he was working tonight, and him and Kazarian and tonight, it was, I don't know, this match was really good. The reversal, the chicken wing in the middle of the ring to the reversal to the rope where he still didn't get it and he had to pin this man for him to be like, all right, I'll let it go. Kazarian was kind of working. I'm not mad at this match. I'm not. I will say I thoroughly enjoyed Trey Miguel's overalls. I need to know where you got those from, if they have it in my size, and if they're under $100, because I'm not paying over $100 for damn overalls. And them screwing Maclin, I mean, you screwed them last time, and turnabout is fair play. I don't know what you thought was going to happen. I saw it in the chat, and I agree. Those damn rascals.
It's a fun story that they're telling. It's like I said, I think Maclin played a babyface out of necessity of this match. I also think that there's a little bit of like, how would this look? How would this look if we decided to go down the line? Maclin, in his role in TNA, he's never played the babyface. He's never been a crowd favorite. And like, listen, I think that he enjoys the roles he gets to play right now. But I think maybe there's a piece of him that's like, no, what would happen if I tried to get cheered? What would happen if I tried to be, you know, hot hand Mr. Babyface? There are plenty of those right now on the TNA roster in the top of the divisions. But if this is a little like testing of waters, this wasn't so bad. It was strange, but it's not impossible. Rascals are always going to be pieces of shit.
And I feel like also too with Maclin, we could always go, if we can't cheer him, it gives anti-hero, like, listen, I'm a jerk, but I am not Bully Ray. So knock it off. I'm sick of you. I'll fight you. Like, I may be a bad guy, but I'm not like, I'm not Moose. I'm not going to burn down your house. You know?
I mean, he could.
I mean, I could. Like, I have the potential to. Like, Maclin has the potential to be those guys, but I feel like every time given the opportunity to be those guys, he always gets right there. It's like, you know what? You really did set PCO on fire and put battery as you're wilding. I just buried him. No, that wasn't even him who buried him. He's like, I didn't even do all of that. You guys are crazy, bro. Like, I'm a bad guy, but I'm not that much of a bad guy. Jesus.
The flux capacitor into the cross, caught in the crosshairs that they tried to do until Trey got the distraction on. I liked where that was going. There was something in that spot that I liked. They teased it. They took a little too long to set it up, but with a little bit of practice, I think that was, there was something in there. And then, of course, Trey Miguel did his thing and we had the spray paint and that was it. That was the match.
Yeah. I mean, it's the Rascals. Again, Maclin had this coming. He did screw them, but it was a good match. I liked this match. Going into it, I was like, whatever. But then I was like, these boys are cooking.
So let's say Maclin and the Rascals, two of them, one of Maclin. Does Maclin find a friend or does he do it 2-on-1, get beat down? Like, how do you see this playing out?
I mean, who's going to give Macklin a chance? Unless, now this is a chaotic option, and hear me out. Unless the person who gives Macklin a chance is Josh Alexander when he comes back from injury.
That's interesting. It's interesting. Now, by the way, he's not so much injured. He's just not. He pulled himself from the month of May bookings, did Josh Alexander.
I'm going with what they said. And on TNA, they said he's not medically cleared. So that's what I was going with. Fair. I say that to say Josh Alexander is the standard bearer for TNA right now. Like, even though there are other people who are the champion, he's still the guy. And you know who forgives? God and Josh Alexander to an extent. And if you guys are running amok, especially Frankie Kazarian calling yourself the king of TNA one moment, then telling the crowd you got a chance to hate me, now you can hate me. And the Rascals are little miscreants. I get it. Truly get it. I could see Alexander being like, listen, I don't like this guy. But in the interest of fairness, I cannot have this stand. You Rascals, you got to be stopped. Maybe a Speedball will join, because Speedball's all about virtue and whatnot. Maybe get a, I don't know what kind of match you get out of that. But I could see Josh Alexander, like, surprisingly, and Mack would be like, I don't want your help. He's like, well, guess what, Mimi? You're going to get it.
We'll see where it goes. I'm wondering, what's Wesley Blake? Is he still working at the PC? Weston Blake?
You mean Wesley?
Yeah, no, not Wesley. I'm talking about his old tag team partner, Macklin's old tag team partner, Weston Blake, who was Wesley Blake in WWE.
Got it. So I'm thinking of Wesley, the other rascal.
Not Dez. No, not Dez. We'll see where it goes, but just putting it out there. Giselle Shaw and Gail Kim are besties. No, they're not. Gail Kim wants to be the guidance counselor for Giselle Shaw. And she asks, where are you guiding me? And Gail says, home. And then later on socials, Giselle says, you know, I'm going to be coming back to TNA. So I assume this weekend we'll be seeing Giselle Shaw, who was upset. She can't win the big one. She's like, Gail Kim, you've won the big one. Like, yeah, you don't get upset. And it seems like they're trying to play up Giselle Shaw eventually winning the big one. I don't know when or where, but they're certainly trying to get somewhere with this Giselle Shaw, maybe babyface turn. They're trying to find some way to get some sort of, I don't know, some sort of not heat, the opposite of heat. They're trying to get you behind her. What do you think?
Sorry about that. My cat was doing something she was not supposed to be doing. I had to be real mom real quick.
That's fine. Giselle Shaw, give me your thoughts.
No, I actually like this. Part of me wants them to be a tag team. I think the knockouts division, the tag team knockouts division really, really needs oomph. You got it. You've got the girls, but they need something. However, I can see under Gail Kim's guidance, her leading Giselle Shaw to a championship. Maybe not off of Grace. Maybe Grace loses to somebody else. Or maybe off of Grace. Or the chaotic option, since I am being chaotic. Gail leads her all the way to the top. It says, number one rule, don't trust nobody, and then screws her. I would eat that up. I love a good heel turn.
So I think it's the other way around. I think Giselle gets taken to the top, loses the match, loses it on Gail Kim. And we set up Giselle Shaw versus Gail Kim.
Oh, that's good. That's good. And Gail Kim was like, all I did was try to help you while you was in the woods crying, and you going to blame me? Ooh, that's good. Oh, Joel, that's
and
good.
And if she's
that's
not, if Giselle Shaw is not the quintessential diva, she says, I'm the quintessential knockout. And that's how we transition a new knockouts head of heads right there. We'll see.
I like that. Book it, Dano. I don't know who's the lead booker. So book it, Santino.
We'll have some conversation. I don't know anyone. Santana, this part two interview, again, they really, really knock these out of the park. Hannafin's good in this. Santana's good at this. It's so relaxed, but it's so impassioned. They cover, you know, the sobriety aspect of Mike Santana's career, the tugging on the heartstrings. And that's a story he told Jeremy and I on In the Weeds about, you know, his injury, his sobriety, and what led him there. And like, we all teared up when he told it, including Santana. Like, we all had a moment. Go watch that interview if you haven't. It's from late last year when he was getting ready to do an appearance at Warrior Wrestling. He was just about to leave AEW at the time, but he mentions it here. And I thought that was great. And then they bring it all back. They say, you're here in TNA. You're doing the singles thing. He says, the target's on everyone's back, and I'm ready to climb the mountains. I loved this. It makes Santana important, but it doesn't force you to have to watch a series of matches where he just randomly wins and says, now I deserve a world title shot. What do you think of this whole thing?
Oh, when you said it was tugging at the heartstrings, when they showed his daughter's hand right now, I had a thug tear leave my eye because that's real. And then he said something afterwards that, like, I don't have kids, but he said, if your kid says something along the lines of, if your kid says something like that to you and that doesn't change you, it doesn't make you feel nothing, like, what are you doing? I'm like, oof, 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 oof. I do think that it is, I think sobriety is very important. I think I said this last week to talk about, because there's a lot of people, especially in entertainment, that's like, it's cool, be drunk, And sometimes you're seen as a lame or a square. It's okay to be sober, dude. It's okay to be straight edge. It's okay. Like, oof, this, I got me in the feels. But then he was like, it's cool because I'm 1 year sober. I got my stuff together. And if I could survive this, I could go solo dolo on my own. Left AEW, and now he's here ready to be on everyone. He transitioned it, like you said, very smoothly. Talk about, I could be mad at Macklin, but I'm not mad because I would do the same thing. And I'm just as hungry as he is, so let's go. I'm like, this was superb. This itself was superb. And out of all of the times that they've done this with people, this one at the top of my list, right underneath Josh Alexander, because this was fantastic.
They just announced IWGP World Title Eliminator match, Jon Moxley versus Konosuke Takeshita. Eliminator match. So at least that makes the Dominion match not mean less. Anyway, sorry, got sidetracked. Tony Khan on Twitter always sidetracks me. Home stretch, Hopper Chats, Super Chats, Champions Challenge match. Matt Hardy, Ryan Nemeth, Eric Young, Joe Hendry, Sammy Callahan, Steph DeLander, and Spitfire, the team of Jody Threat and Danny Luna, defeat the team of Moose Eddie Edwards, Laredo Kid, Jordan Grace, Alicia Edwards, and Masha Slamovich in a 16-person match where First Class cuts a promo from the box. Laredo Kid versus AJ Francis is this weekend for the Digital Media Championship, being taped for TV, so we'll see that. And it's a 30-minute main event, and the system wear basketball jerseys now. You want to hear about the numbers, Cresta Star?
Is there a significance to the power numbers?
You bet, baby.
Okay, I'm ready.
The numbers are 69, 87, 83, and 31. Now, I'm sure you can assume Alicia Edwards wearing the number 87. What do you think that is?
The year she was born.
That is the year she was born. Her and I are 6 months apart. Edward,
I too was born in the year of 87. Year 87.
We are so old. Edward Edwards, not to be outclassed, 83. I'm sure you can assume that is
his birth year as well.
He's old. And then Moose wore 69, not because he's a memer, but because he played.
Oh, football. I was going to say because BBL jersey, BBL.
Nope. He's been Moose Nation 69 forever. And finally, this is the one that almost got me. Brian Myers is wearing the number 31. Why do you think Brian Myers wears number 31?
I think I know this because I had just started watching wrestling. Wasn't that how many times he lost to the Fed before he was finally released? He was 0-31?
No, he was 0-200 and something.
Jesus Christ. Yikes. Yo.
Yeah, they made it a whole thing. 31 was his high school jersey number.
Okay, nah, oof. 200.
Oh, God. Go back and watch WrestleMania 35. You'll hear all about it.
Oh, no. Yeah,
That was WrestleMania from 5 years ago. Yeah, that was a big thing. That was the big moment. That was all leading up to the Cardona and Myers win the tag titles on the pre-show at WrestleMania.
If I was Brian Myers, me and Mr. McMahon would have to square up outside.
There are enough people wanting to square up with Mr. McMahon right now.
That's true.
Anyway, the match itself, 30 minutes. It was long. It was fine. There were moments that I loved. Joe Hendry wins the match. I love that. Hits the standing ovation on Brian Myers. We mentioned the PCO stuff, but let's talk about it. Overall thoughts on this match. Ali ditches in the middle of it, so he doesn't actually lose, which is a big deal. There you go. In the ring, it's 3-on-3 in the ring, so basically it doesn't matter that there are 16 people involved in this match. You can only do 3-on-3 at one time. It's very weird.
I was so confused about why we had to do that First Class thing. It didn't even play into anything in the match. Okay, I guess we have to kill time.
To get AJ Francis on the show. Which, like, it's fine. It's Dahl. And also, Dahl is going to get the Laredo Kid Digital Media Championship match on Thursday. So, like, they'll play into it, and they've already planned with it. But if you're just watching it cold, you're like, what the hell is this?
I wanted Joe Hendry. I can't look at him the same. Every time I see him in AJ Francis, all I can think of is, can you please get fire? He cooked that man. And that's a good thing and it's a bad thing, because now this is what I'm remembering you for. I want to give props to the Hasset match that we had between Danny Luna and Jordan Grace. There's a meat division somewhere, and all of you companies are cowards. I'm calling you all out. I want my damn meat division. I am dying of not gout, and I need to get gout from having too much meat. Thank you very much. Ali leaving, and then like 5 minutes later on Twitter, after he left, tweeting, that doesn't work for me. Oh, that was great. Oh, man. Ali is in his heel bag. And we might have to put his name in a running for the biggest hater of the year, because that was great. That was standing ovation for the win on Myers. I guess. This was a cluster, and it was fun, but I guess. The PCO stuff at the end, I also guess. And me and my little brother watching TNA, so he's going to pull out Matt Cardona's head.
What's funny about the Ali walking out thing is that currently he's got this whole like refusing to lose on the Indies, New Japan thing that came out that he's played into as like now he's 32-0. So now he's doing the Goldberg walk. This would have been a loss. So for him to walk out and be like, no, and then saying that doesn't work for me, brother, is absolute peak. It was so good. I'm a big fan of that.
Honestly. Anything we lift from Bulk Bogan, I don't feel bad. I honestly don't feel bad. I've been bamboozled because that used to be my favorite wrestler. And for to find out that he wasn't saying, brother, lift it all from him. Take it. That's not even his stuff. It's not even his stuff.
This was, a very confusing match, much like the Macklin and Kazarian match, because you had different, what's the word I'm thinking? Different
styles.
Face alignments. No, it was the alignments. You've got Moose, Eddie Edwards, Alicia Edwards, Masha Slamovic are all heels. Laredo Kid, Jordan Grace are on their team because they're champions and they're baby faces. And then on the other side, you've got Matt Hardy, Ryan Nemeth, Eric Young, Joe Hendry, Sammy Callahan, and Spitfire. And then there's Steph DeLander. And you don't know, like, at the end, Steph DeLander's standing tall, and then she becomes, like, the focal point of the PCO moment. And it's like, who are we supposed to be cheering for in this whole thing? Like, how does this all work? Again, hoping that it gets discussed and play out into Against All Odds. And again, it feels like everyone who was in that Champions Challengers match, they're all going to get some sort of championship repercussion or compensation, because again, the challengers beat the champions, so now they have something that they can all go back and say, we deserve title matches for all of our winners and so on and so forth, and that's fine. And then you take out Laredo Kid and AJ Francis, because AJ Francis is probably going to win that digital media championship. Poor Laredo Kid. At least he got a defense out of it. But it was just a very strange match to have given the alignments. It was a fine match. It was just strange, and it took up 30 minutes of time. Joe Hendry, though, again, proves to be extremely over, and you're going to get a huge opportunity with him. If you move him to the main event scene sooner than later, he can work. He can talk. He has the look. I know what's stopping TNA from doing it. I get it. Like they haven't done like the progressive build, but the crowd is into it. And maybe it's time to start thinking about striking while the iron is hot.
And I'll even say, to Joe Hendry's credit, offline, he's really super over. Like, there is something to be said about you taking your wrestling theme that, as somebody who went to AEW Dynasty, people were singing Joe Hendry. And then now you're in the top 30, and I think like in the top 10 in Scotland, and like literally top 30 US. Like, that's not even like that's kind of crazy. So I do think there is something to be said about moving him up, and he is definitely someone that if he beat Moose, we hate Moose. We hate the system. And who else to take on the system than some guy who's gonna do a diss track about? Can you imagine the diss tracks? Can you imagine Kendrick Lamar? I'm sorry, I'm dragging.
No, but this is the whole thing though. With Henry, the problem, I guess it's a good problem to have, is that he's so popular because of the music and the non-seriousness. He has not been presented as super serious, gonna kick your ass, win a championship type of wrestler. He's been very jokey. He's won the digital media championship. That's it. The popularity is there, but is the popularity going to translate to a Josh Alexander-esque world title? And not that everyone needs to be like Josh, but the idea that, you know, can he wrestle the style that fits the title, that fits the reception that he gets? Like there is a big thing that needs to happen with Joe Hendry's performance that needs to get people thinking differently than, oh, funny guy with a guitar.
No, I agree. Now I see what you mean. He needs to fight an Eric Young, a Sami Callihan. He needs someone that's going to test his, a GYV even. He needs someone that's going to test his grit. Nah, I get what you mean. Nah. Oh, well, I never thought about it like that. I'm thinking it might not be too bad because he can go, and there's no doubt he can go, but I see what you mean. He would need someone that's really going to be like, even if you win, I'm going to whoop your ass. He needs a Josh Hammerstone. Is it Alex Hammerstone? Oh my goodness.
Alexander Hammerstone, yeah. Okay. Although it's Josh Hammerstone would be fantastic. That's his cousin.
even a Jake something, I think, yeah, in this situation would be really good for him. Or even not a Rhino, because that would end up being jokes too.
Well, so this is the whole thing, right? He needs to get his ass beat to the point where he fires back. And he doesn't fire back with a song. He fires back with an impassioned promo about not getting his ass beat again. And something like that carries him further in the seriousness of a presentation to a world's champion. That is really the big thing with Joe Hendry, is that, again, don't get me wrong, I cheer for the man at every single stop along the way.
Same. I love Joe Hendry. Ugh.
But the difference between the quote unquote main event style and what Joe Hendry's doing is a comedy song. And it's not there yet. That, like, wrestling fans are not into, you know, having that world champion funny man. I don't think it's there yet. But I think that Joe Hendry has the opportunity to refine or just tune his character to make it both funny and an ass kicker. But he needs to have that ass kicker moment.
Yeah, absolutely agree. I think this is the same problem that what's his name? Max Caster ran into. It's funny. It's great. It's great. But I think there has to be a gritty moment, like you said, so you can stop doing it. Like you said, come back with a promo and say, there's no jokes. There's nothing funny. I got my ass beat. This was crazy. And then when you fight, when you eventually go for a big one and you do fight a Moose or not Hammerstone, Josh Alexander, you can be like, yeah, I make a song about your thing, but this is also what I've done. I'll beat you up. So stop playing with me. I agree. I don't want to think about, I believe in Joe Hendry. That's what I believe.
We'll see where Joe Hendry lands. He is facing Edward Edwards at the TV tapings. So maybe he'll get his ass beat and then fire up on that.
He gonna get finessed out his boots. The system gonna cheat Joe Hendry out his boots. He gonna write a whole song on the system and then they're all gonna jump him.
Edward Edwards' old ass 1983 ass motherfucker. Anyway, that is Impact from May 16th. Oh, by the way, Ryan Nemeth hit the knickknack. Sorry, we call it the Rick Rack when he does it.
Shut up. Not Roro Raggy, the Rick Rack.
It was the Rick Rack. I just had to get that in there before the end. And then, like I said, PCO offers the rose to Steph DeLander, and there will be a wedding, I'm sure, at one point, and we will all just love dissecting that when it happens.
Joe Hendry is singing the music at that wedding, and I cannot wait. Oh my God.
If they do that at Slammiversary, because PCO is from Montreal, he is Quebecois. If they do it at Slammiversary, I will be there and I will officiate the stupid wedding. How's that? TNA.
Bro, I will write lyrics for it. Me and Joe want to help. We want to help plan this black wedding.
I'll be there with bells on. I will resuscitate PCO for what would be the 497th time when we get to Montreal. I'll be there. I'll put on a tux. I will I'll rent one. I will buy one. Indochino. I will ask for anything. Let's get that going. Let's do the wedding between Steph DeLander and PCO in Montreal. Okay. Other than that, Cressa Star, what you got going on?
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, my name is Cressa Star. It's been fantastic being with you every Thursday and every Saturday. I'm here on Fightful. Thursdays, myself and Joe Pearl go over all things TNA/Impact. And on Saturdays, myself, Riccicino, and Iridian go over all things Collision. My muggle, no more. I will be doing more online stuff. So we're getting back to my schedule soon. Not yet. So I'm not giving you any announcements because last time I did that, it kind of went belly up. So anywho, I love you all. I respect you. Find me on Twitter, being a Mendence and pretending to be Seahawks. So that's Cressa the Star. And if you hate me, I'm at Joel Pearl.
And if you hate me, I am at Seahawk. Or at Sean Rossap. I don't know. But actually, I am here every Thursday with Cressa the Star doing the TNA post show. I might be on the SmackDown post show tomorrow night. I have been asked. I haven't decided yet. I'm going to make Kate wait for it. I'm going to make her wait. Maybe y'all want to
do it.
If
you don't want to do it, I'll do it. I'll come to the SmackDown.
No, I'm going to do it. I'll probably do it.
Work.
Yeah, leave it in the comments. Like Joel gets work. Cam's been fighting this week. That's right. Anyway. Oh, I am in the weeds also every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 10 a.m. Eastern till noon. We always talk wrestling because that's what we do over on Fightful Overbooked. If you haven't subscribed to us, if you haven't dropped that thumbs up and supported us here, well, first of all, we appreciate you, but we need you to appreciate us always because we love you. I am Atrol Pearl, J-O-E-L-P-E-R-O, ladies, gentlemen, friends, beyond the binary. We will see you in the next one. Cheers.
Goodbye forever.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.